Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Would you just take a moment to do that? Just worship the Lord. For He is good. For His mercy endures forever. From everlasting to everlasting. Oh, would you make way for the Lord tonight? Open up your head, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. God is so, so good. You'll have to excuse me tonight. I feel like I could explode. I really do. And I'm just thankful for being here tonight. Thankful for the Lord, for His help. Amen. I'm glad that He's my help in time of need. Amen. And I'm so thankful. Amen. For the Lord. Amen. Tonight, first and foremost. Amen. Again, I want to give honor to your pastor and his wife. They are just wonderful folks. Go ahead and give them a hand. Amen. There's a lot of preachers that I've heard say, you know, your pastor and your wife, they treated me like royalty. And I want to tell you, your pastor and wife, they haven't treated us like royalty. They've treated us like family. And that's better than that. Amen. Amen. And I'm so thankful for them. I love their spirit. I love their passion for the Lord, for the work of the Lord. And I'm so thankful, amen, to know them and to have them in my life. Amen. I want to give honor to Pastor Sam Ray and his family that are here tonight. Amen. They're doing a great work. Amen. Amen. So thankful for their passion for the work of the Lord. And Brother Pastor Roberts, he said, so glad to have his family here tonight. But tonight, they're my family. Amen. Aren't you so glad that our sister brought her husband and her children and their son and daughter-in-law? Amen. Amen. But God is so good. I'll give honor to my wife tonight. I'm so thankful for her. Amen. Couldn't do what I do without her. And one night I didn't even realize that this was an issue until I was speaking to Sister Becky. And she said, Pastor, your problem is that you're not good at coddling people. And I thought about that for a moment. And I thought, you're right. I don't have time. Please understand, I'm not trying to be callous. I told you I was going to come preach to the church tonight, right? I believe that if you want to be saved and you want to be a part of the church, you ought to be a part of the church. You ought to purpose. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Nobody had to prod him. He said, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving in my heart and into his courts with praise, right? And so I found out that day that I wasn't a great coddler, but my wife's an excellent coddler. She is the other half. Amen. And I'm so thankful for her. I give her honor tonight. I give honor. Amen. 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 I give honor to this church. Can I tell you that you're an easy group to preach to? You make me feel like I'm going to explode. Because you intimidate me tonight. I was singing this morning. Your worship team makes me want to sing. And I'm not that great of a singer, but here I am this morning. Ah! You know, I can't sing, but you make me want to sing. And then tonight, I thought, I don't know if I have the voice to get through this tonight by the time I'm done, but your church is an easy church to preach to, and I love your spirit. Everybody has been so kind, and we thank you very much, amen, for your hospitality. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 10, and verse number 13. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 10, and verse number 13. If you have it, say amen. The scripture says, for he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent, and I have removed the bonds of the people, and have robbed their treasures. And I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man. And my hand hath found as the nest the riches of the people. And as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. Verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth it? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it? As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up, or that the staff should lift up itself as if it were no wood. I want to skip down to the verse number 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. Yet for a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and my anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge of him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. I want to focus tonight on verse number 7 is where I'm going, but the whole scripture is important. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder, from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, because of the anointing. Amen. I want to preach on this thought. The anointing is not cheap. The anointing is not cheap. Amen. Would you just join me in prayer tonight? And let's just invite God to really deal with our hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us not take offense to your word. But God, that you would let it sharpen us. God, that you would let it do its perfect work in us. That God, when we leave this place, God, there would be a breaking and a breaking loose and a breaking forth of the anointing. Lord, I pray every heart, God, that it would hear, and that it would not just hear, but be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. You may be seated. The anointing is not cheap. How many know that if it's cheap, it's not worth having? I've never seen anybody go to the dollar store and buy something that is a dollar and take it home and put it in their safe and try to protect it because it's so precious. It's cheap. If you break it, you go back to the store and you get another one. Nobody tries to protect that type of cheap property. We know that it is usable and disposable, and we can just go get another. But then there are some things that are absolutely priceless. There are things that we have, maybe an heirloom that has been passed down to you, that you do put into maybe a safe deposit box, or maybe you put it into a safe at your house, or you keep the humidity controlled because if it is damaged, there's not another like it. It is absolutely priceless. I want to tell somebody today in 2019 that the anointing of God is something that is precious. It is not cheap. It is not something that is found in abundance in our day, but it is something that when it is obtained, it ought to be cherished and kept and desired to be kept. Amen. If I were to ask you in this room tonight, how many have somebody that you could recall in your mind that needs the Holy Ghost or needs a healing or needs deliverance? Would we show a show of hands of if you know somebody that falls into that category? Can I tell you, I believe every one of us in this room knows somebody that needs a move of God in their life. Oh, I believe all of us know somebody that know that there's somebody we know that needs a move of God in their life. And I was speaking to a man recently, and he was talking about how he was trying to influence this brother who is in false doctrine and false religion. And he said, I've tried to tell him, and he said he just won't listen. And I said, well, brother, that's where you just live your life according to the scriptures, because the apostle said that we are an epistle that is read of all men. Can I tell you, sometimes the breaking of bondages of those around you depends on what you're doing, what you're entertaining in your life. Let me tell somebody, we need a church that is anointed in 2019, that when it comes to things that the doctors and the lawyers and the nurses and if like Humpty Dumpty, the kings and all of his men, when they run out of answers, the church ought to be the desiring the anointing of God to break the bondages of the yoke of sin. How many know that it takes the anointing to break the yoke? It takes the anointing to really break through some of the things that we're dealing with today. In an article that my mother read and she forwarded it to me, it was actually in our local paper. And it talked about the heroin epidemic in our county. And it began to say how the researchers have found that those that go through a program and simply complete the steps will relapse almost absolutely assuredly. But they said there was another group that when they hit rock bottom with their addiction, that if they had a spiritual encounter and experience, that the results of them not relapsing were higher than those who did not have that experience. Let me tell you, I believe that God, even in some churches that may not believe exactly like us, where they really want God and they're really worshiping God and they're believing God for the deliverance, can I tell you, I believe the anointing begins to break some of those bondages, because the scripture says he's no respecter of persons. Can I tell you that when a sinner comes to the altar and begins to pour his heart out to God and begins to say, oh, help me that I might be saved. Can I tell you, sometimes we like to say it like in the New Testament, where the scripture tells us about the Pharisee comes in and he's all dignified in the way he prays, oh Lord, forgive me of my sins, hallowed be thy name. We know just what to say. And the Bible says the Pharisee looks down on the man, beating his chest and saying, God, forgive me. Can I tell you, I believe that there are some sinners that have hit rock bottom that are walking into some churches and they're reaching out for God, and God's saying, I'll honor your request and I'll break the yoke of the enemy that is around your neck. It's the anointing. It takes the anointing to really get through the things that we need to be loose from. The anointing in Bible times was not just the flow of God's authority, though it was. But it was also a setting apart of all things. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament tabernacle, that all things were sprinkled with the anointing oil to be separated and to be set apart to the work of God. So can I tell you that when we read stories like when Samuel comes and he anoints Saul, that he was really setting him apart to be used for the will and the work of God. And when Saul messes up, God rejects him and God says, find me another that I can put the anointing on. And as we know, Samuel was there weeping and all of his hopes and dreams were dashed that this king would be a good man. And God says, how long will you weep, Samuel? I've got another that has a heart after me, that's sitting in the backside of a desert, writing worship songs and praying and reading and loving me. How long will you mourn? I've got someone else to anoint. He said, get up and fill your horn with oil and begin to anoint David, the next king. Can I tell you that when there is somebody that really wants to get a hold of God, it doesn't matter if he's a young person. It doesn't matter if he's on the backside of the wilderness. It doesn't matter how he looks. Or I wish somebody would just get a desire for the anointing of God. We need a desire for the anointing that causes us I'm going to be just transparent with you. Sometimes I used to watch preachers come and go, and I would see them at church camp, and I would assume their life was just perfect, all fairy tales, and they were good speakers. And man, if I could be like that and have no problems. I tell you, I have a sister who is, she was raised in the apostolic church. She was a Bible quizzer. She can teach you doctrine backwards and forwards. But today she's lost. And she's got bitterness and hurt feelings. And she's got things going on that keep the church at bay. Oh, but I believe one day we were sitting at the dinner table, and I try not to be controversial with her. But one day she was, and she's a registered nurse. And if you're a registered nurse, God bless you. We need you. I thank God for you. But she said, we were having a discussion, and she said, your problem is that you think that God is able to heal everybody and that God can heal everybody. And I said, well, I said, you might not believe that. And I said, you might be accusing me of that. I said, but the way I see it, that if more of us would believe that God would, maybe we wouldn't need, I'm telling you, we need the anointing that will break things in people's lives that are unexplainable, that there was no answers, that they were at the bottom of the barrel, but all of a sudden the anointing breaks. Oh my God. The anointing was the separation. How many still believe that we need to be separated unto God? How many believe that the anointing still flows to those that will separate themselves unto God? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto... I still believe that God wants separation in the anointing. The problem is, in our scripture text tonight, the people had become self-sufficient. I wish I could have had time to preach on one of my favorite scriptures, woe unto them that take ease in Zion. Can I tell you that you are in a spiritual warfare? You are in a battle for your soul tonight. We cannot afford to take ease in Zion. But the New Testament said, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. I wish somebody would hear me tonight. We need the anointing back in our life. So the people of God had gotten themselves into an issue. They become full of themselves. Can I tell you, the Bible tells us that God reached his hand in and begin to take what they had in excess and begin to take what they had that they took safety in. Can I tell you, if they had none of those things, they would have been more dependent upon God. So God is trying to correct them like a good father. How many fathers do I have in the building? Have you ever just given your kids everything they wanted because you just thought if you completely spoiled them, they'd turn out to be good people? No, you absolutely know that if you don't put some kind of discipline and some kind of structure into their life, that they're going to grow up and they're going to be brats and people won't be able to stand them and they won't be able to be employed by nobody because they don't want to deal with the hard stuff. They don't want to deal with the discipline. So God, like a good father, begins to tell them, oh, you think that you have taken comfort in your strength and in your might and in your own knowledge. But God says, I'm going to give you a correction in your life. I'm going to correct the course in which you have been coming thus far. So God is going to correct them, not because he's a tyrant, but because he desires their best at heart. He's also keeping them on track to be the people of God, so that the anointing can flow through them. Sometimes God's got to chasten us. And God's got to correct us. Just so he can flow through us. I don't know about you, but I know what it is to preach under the anointing of God. And can I tell you the reason that we see folks backslide that are preachers and still want to be preachers is because there's no feeling like being like preaching under the anointing of God. And so, God correct me to keep the anointing in my life is my prayer. So God is correcting them so that he can still flow through them. And that one day, if they will allow the anointing, I wish I could talk to somebody that wanted to be a conduit of the anointing. If they would allow the anointing to flow through them, if they would be the people of God, if they would keep themselves from all sinful acts and sinful lifestyles, they would father not just an anointing, but the anointed one, the Holy One of Israel. That to his end there was no, to his, the reign of his kingdom, there was no end. I want to tell you, I want to allow God's anointing to flow through me for my benefit, that I can see the greatness of what God wants to produce in my life. They would produce the anointed one, the Holy One of Israel. God had to correct them to make this possible. Verses number 13 through 15. God says, by the strength of my hand, I have done it. And by my wisdom, God didn't need anyone else's strength, and God didn't need anyone else's counsel. He said, I have robbed their treasuries. I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man, and my hand has found the nest of the riches of the people. And like those who gather eggs, he said, of those that were left, he said, I took them. Oh my goodness, I wish you could feel what I feel. He said, I reached my hand in and I took those things in which they were comfortable with. And those things that they took strength in so that they could understand that I am their God. And he said, shall the axe boast of him above him that is swinging it? He said, shall the saw magnify itself above him that is shaking it? I want to tell you, this might seem like a real strange question in our day and age. But let me explain to you why the prophet was moved of the Holy Ghost to write these words. It was so that the people of Israel would know. He was letting them know that the Assyrian army was not afflicting them because they wanted to. He was letting them know that the Assyrians weren't just having a bad day and wanted to beat up on Israel, and God allowed it. What he was wanting them to know was that it was not on the Assyrians' own accord, but he was just using Assyria as a tool in his hand to correct his people. God was saying, if you want to take all the comforts of what life can afford you and place all your hopes on those, let me tell you what, I'll put the Assyrians in my hand like a saw or like an axe, and I will begin to correct your course, O Israel. That's why we've got to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I want to tell you, we cannot get to a place that we have such good church that we finally arrived. But we've got to have God correct us so that He can flow through us. Let me tell you, when you learn to preach, when you really learn to preach and you can do it on your own, and you can get into the pulpit and you can flip a switch, and all of a sudden you don't need the prayer room, there's a problem. Oh, when we can learn to sing, that we get into the ministry, that we sing like a canary, but we are void of prayer, or void of pursuing the anointing, we're in trouble. Let me tell you, God will correct you so that He can flow through you. Then we come down to verses 24 through 27. God begins to comfort those people in which He is afflicting. He says, don't worry, the Assyrians are not going to utterly destroy you. He said, the indignation shall cease and my anger in their destruction. Or in other words, God had already had the plan of redeeming them back to what they should have done when He caused the Assyrians to afflict them. There is so much here that I'm not preaching, but I wish you could understand that whatever it is that God's got you going through right now, He already has the answer for it. He already has a way to bring you back out of it if we would submit ourselves to the process and say, God, here I am. I want you to flow through me. I want you to use my life. Can I tell you, God would say that in just a little while, those problems and those trials that I have allowed in your life to go through, I'm going to bring them out and I'm going to put you back into a place of anointing that I can use you and flow through you again. Oh, my Lord. It says, my anger and their destruction will cease. Verse 27, I'm just going to read verse 27. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now pay attention here real quickly with me, because I am going to get somewhere and I'm not going to abuse your time tonight, but I want God to show up in this place and do something in our lives tonight. Matthew Henry makes a point that the original translation of being destroyed because of the anointing really means, in the root words of what is being said, it is because of the fatness of thy neck. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a fat neck. The original translation is because of your fatness, the fatness of your neck. But also Matthew Henry goes out to point out, but it is not just a reference to the fatness of the neck, but also that it uses the word here as a, not as the pouring out of oil anointing, but as the anointed one. Now here's where you got to catch this. Because prior in the scripture, in the book of Isaiah chapter 10, God is saying about the things in which he will allow them to afflict and what will happen to Israel because they have, let me just be honest with you, they had learned to go to church and go through the motions, but they had learned to take safety and comfort in their stuff. And so God said, I will allow leanness of neck to come to them. You know what that means? That's the preacher who preaches a bunch of revival, he don't get paid, and he don't go to Applebee's afterwards. All of a sudden, he's missing some substance. God said, I will allow leanness of neck to come upon you. In other words, you're going to be malnourished. You're going to be weak. You're going to be able to be put in the yoke of bondage and towed around and told what to do. Oh my goodness, I wish you could understand what I'm preaching about tonight. But the Bible says later on that by the fatness of their neck, or in other words, God restored unto them, but not the same fatness that they had. But it was the anointing of the fatness that they had substance, and that they had something that was strong and mighty in them. And it wasn't their own, but it was the Holy One of Israel. It was the anointing of God that broke the yoke and the bondage in their life. Oh my, I wish you could understand tonight. We need the anointing in our church. We need the anointing in our home. We need the anointing in our school. We need God to break some things wide open by His Spirit. The Holy One of Israel. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. Can I just, to borrow some words from your general superintendent, he said there are some things you just don't have to pray about. Brother Bernard said he saw a man one day, and he invited this young man to church. And he said the young man responded with, well, I might come to church, but I have to pray about it. And Brother Bernard said, have to pray about it? He said, son, there are some things you just don't have to pray about. He said, the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is. Can I tell you, there's some things we don't have to pray about. God wants you to have the anointing at work in your church. God wants you to have the anointing at work in your life. You don't have to ask God, God, do you want to anoint me to use me? God wants to anoint you if you're willing to pay the price of the anointing. I'm going to say that again. God wants to anoint you if you're willing to pay the price of anointing. Are you willing to allow God to get into your nest and pull out the eggs that are left? Are you willing to allow God to take the bonds off you? Are you willing to let God take you through some things that He might use you? your pastor asked me to preach, he said, hey, we're doing overflow and we need you to preach about faith and miracles and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I said, all right, I'm going to do my best. And then the Lord spoke this to me and I thought, God, this is not what Brother Roberts asked for. And then God said, but if they'll pay the price, it will be. Oh, are we willing to pay the price in this day and age to have the anointing at work in our life? Because the anointing breaks the bondage. Can I tell you, there are people that are out there hopeless and what they're looking for is a real anointing, a real move of God, not just another Sunday school lesson, not just another song, but somebody that's been bought by the blood, filled with the Spirit, and is in covenant with the Almighty God to get up and sing something that would set their soul on fire. The alabaster box was worth, the scripture tells us, a year's salary. Now, a year's salary for some of us, that'd be, oh my goodness. Some of us it might be, oh my goodness. But nevertheless, it's a year's salary. Can anybody in here write a check for your year's salary tonight, brother? Roberts asked somebody this morning, can you write a $1 million check? Did you write a check for just your salary? And if you make more than $1 million, you make $1 million, my goodness, send your relatives to Worcester and tell them to come to my church. But not many of us can write a check for our year's salary. The Bible says the alabaster box was worth a year's salary, and that she had been saving it, and it was precious to her, and that she came into the room and broke the alabaster box. Notice that she broke it. It was no turning back, and I don't want to take away from what she did. But when Jesus got done, and when she got done, and all the other politicians got done, and they said she could have sold this, and it would have been for the poor. And Jesus said, she had wrought a good work on me, for she hath anointed me for my burial. But can I tell you, as valuable as the alabaster box was, it was an anointing, not the anointing. God help us that we settle for an anointing. Somebody listen to me tonight. I might go home and preach this to our folks because I feel that it's timely for the church. God help us that we get content with an anointing. That when we sing, I feel a couple goosebumps. Or that when I preach the word, one came to the altar, and that's good enough for me. Or maybe I got pats on the back of how good I preached, and that's good enough for me. I just want to have an anointing. Let me tell you, don't fool yourself tonight. You don't need an anointing. You need the anointing. You need the anointing of God. Book of Exodus chapter number 29 tells us about the garments of the high priest and the priesthood. They were beautiful. They were costly, and there were no garments like it in that day. Very costly to be desired. So much so that the scripture tells us, or not the scripture, but history would tell us, in the reading of the law, which is the scripture, that in the Jewish religion and the way that they practice Judaism, that when a young man or a woman would read the law, that they didn't read it like, thou shalt not commit adultery like we do. They sang it. Thou shalt not commit adultery, everybody. Right? Puts a whole new meaning on it. But there were markings in the law that when they sang, that it would denote the tone of voice and the rise and the crescendo and all the things of how they would sing the law. One of those points is called the shalshalet. And it is to identify a conflict within the scripture and what was going on in the Word of God. One shalshalet in the New Testament is when Jesus is in the garden saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That the shalshalet would be a rise in volume and pitch and a drop in volume and pitch and a rise in volume and pitch and a drop in volume and pitch, and it would denote to the hearers that there was a struggle going on. One of the shalshalets is mentioned in the book of Leviticus, and it is where Moses is being told to anoint the garments of Aaron and his sons, or the priests and the Levitical priesthood. That when they read it, they would denote that Moses was having a moment, that he was actually offended and maybe even a little shocked at God, that he would adorn Aaron, the man who made the golden calf, to wear the garments. They were so beautiful. It was a shalshalet. They were beautiful. They were to be desired. But this is what I want you to understand tonight. That the Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 9 that they put those garments on Aaron and his sons, and that then they had to anoint them. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, I feel like I'm at home tonight. I'm just going to be transparent with you. Sometimes, we get so good at looking the part. See, I was raised in Pentecost. And I have little things in my life that I do that are, I'm a victim of being raised in Pentecost. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord, sister. How you doing? How y'all folks doing tonight? Can I tell you that if we ever get lost in the polish and in what kind of suit we wear, or how good we sing, can I tell you, all you are is a sinner in the garments of the priest that has no anointing. But when they anointed him, he was able to go into the holy place where God came down and accepted the sacrifice and remitted sin. I don't want to be in the outer court. I don't want to be just a sinful priest. I don't want to just be dressed for church. But I want to have an anointing. I want to come out of church with my jacket messed up and my hair messed up and sweating with a ring around my collar, because the anointing of God has got on me and God has broken the bondage in my life or in someone else's life. We need the anointing. You can have your suit, you can have your Urshan graduate degree, but until you're anointing, you're just a sharp suit. We need the anointing. I tell somebody, serving God in any capacity, especially in ministry, is not a vocation. You don't get trained for the anointing. The anointing trains you. Let me tell somebody tonight. I don't know what the statistics are. Maybe I should have looked them up. But every day, in every newspaper in America, there is a place called the obituaries. And they are full every day. People are entering eternity at an alarming rate. And it really bothers me when I read the obituaries. When I was a kid, I always used to look at the obituaries and I saw all these old people with gray hair. And they were older, brother, and it seemed like, you know, it was their time to go. Right? But the older I get, I'm starting to see young kids in the paper that are dying that are younger than me because they're addicted to drugs. Or because they got drunk one night and wrecked their car. Let me tell you, this world doesn't need just another church. This world doesn't need just another song. They need a church that has the anointing of God. Because we need something that will break the bondage. Oh, if we could ever get to the place where we would allow God to tear us down and take away from us what was comfortable so that He can let the anointing flow through us. Here's where I'm going to take a turn, because I don't like to just preach to people to get them riled up. And you leave this place and go, well, what do I do? The anointing was for separation. It was to denote a sanctification or setting aside for the purpose of God. I tell you, if we're going to have anointed church, and if we're going to have anointed preaching, and we're going to see sinners come to the altars and God break the chains that are around them. We need a separation of ourselves. We need a place to get alone with God. We need to get on our face and tell God, God, I'm not smart enough to preach this message. God, I'm not a good enough singer to bring you glory like I need to. But God, in my weakness, I need your anointing to show up. And I need you to break the anointing. God, oh God, I need you, God. Paul said, I would rather glory in my infirmities than to know that His grace is sufficient. I'm looking to tell somebody tonight, we're going to have to break ourselves. We're going to have to get alone with God and get on our face because we need the anointing. Jesus said, the book of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain, be removed hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, if I were to be writing and organizing the scripture, I probably would have put verse number 21 above verse 20 because there's a principle there. Jesus is telling them because of their unbelief and that all things are possible to them. But he says, you can say to the mountain or speak to the mountain and it be removed. But verse 21, he says, how be it? This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Or in other words, where we have got the paradigm messed up in our world today is that we pray to the mountain. Oh, they've got cancer. My God, just be merciful to them. Right? Because the mountain's too big. But Jesus didn't say pray to the mountain. He didn't say worry about the size of the mountain. He said some things only come about by prayer and fasting. And if you'll do those things, you don't pray to the mountain, you speak to the mountain. Or in other words, after you have spent time in prayer, after you have emptied yourself of yourself before God, and you've told God, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. God, I don't even know if I have the faith, but I wish that your anointing would show up. God says, when you get done with that, then when you get done and the anointing's at work in your life, then go speak to the mountain on my authority. Not your authority, not what you've seen, but I've been in prayer with the anointing of God. And now I speak to the mountain, be thou removed. We need the anointing. So, this is my problem. Is that I do believe, and I'm guilty of what my sister accused me of, that God can do anything. Sometimes I don't understand what He allows, but I do believe that He can do anything. And so, one sister here this morning came and told me some things about what was going on in her life, and she said, I hope there's still hope. And I said, as long as they're still alive, there's still hope. God can do anything. But what we need is an anointing to break the yoke. I'm going to end. Why don't you stand with me? If you give me just a minute. I've already well exceeded my time of what I would have preached to our church on Sunday night. Told you, you're too easy to preach to. But this is what I want you to understand tonight. We need the anointing. The problem is that we have seen men of God, like Brother Urshan. We have seen men of God from old times. We have read the scriptures about the move of God. Oh, I wish that I was so anointed that when I walk by my shadow, because I've got a pretty big shadow, that people would just leap up from wheelchairs. I want that kind of anointing. Elijah wants the Elisha's anointing. He wants to be able to take the mantle and smote the waters and say, where is the God of my predecessor? But the question is, does he want to pay the price? Elisha, you go over there and I'm going to go be alone with God. But if you see me go, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me go, it'll be given unto you. So Elisha, you just go over there and you rest yourself and I'm going to go be with God. Not on your life, preacher. Not on your life, because I want the anointing like you've got the anointing. The problem is we don't want to pay the bill for the anointing. We've seen men of God who have done great exploits under the anointing, and we say, I want to be like that. I want to be respected like that. I want to have a ministry like that. But nobody wants to pay the price. God, help us to want to pay the price for anointing. I posed a question to our church, and I asked him this, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. I said, what would be worth losing your children that they go to hell? Would one more TV show a night, would that do it? If you got to watch one more TV show a night and your kids went to hell, would that be okay with you? If you got 20 more minutes of sleep in the morning every day, but your kids ended up in hell, would that be all right with you? God, convict us that we want to be the church, but we don't want to be connected to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. But when you are connected to the vine, there's nothing you can't do. God, help us want to pay the price for anointing. Brother Osborne posed a question to us at men's conference. And he said, is a $600 collector's case knife, is it any better than a $20 Walmart knife? Does it cut any better? He said, I would submit to you that it doesn't. He said, but I asked somebody, why would you pay $600 for a knife that Case makes that's this collector's item? Somebody replied, it's for the pride of ownership. Can I tell you that you can have something in your life that when everyone else's family is collapsing, that if we're willing to pay the price, oh, I wish that I could get somebody to understand. Am I all right? The veil in the temple was placed there as a barrier between the holy and the most holy. And for the man of God to go into the most holy place, he had to leave the flesh behind by the brazen altar and the water and the laver of water and the showbread and the candle. And he had to go through all the things and the cleansing and the process that when he got to the veil, he could leave his flesh behind. But when he left his flesh behind, all of a sudden, he was deputized by heaven to stand between God and man. I wish you could understand that if this generation would ever get to the point that we wanted to pay the price of the anointing, we might end up being like Ezekiel. I prophesied to the four winds that there would be life into those backsliders. And I prophesied that flesh would come on them and that God would have his way in them again. But we've got to be willing to pay the price. Of anointing. Is there an Elisha in the room who would say, I want what some of the men of God that I've seen. I don't just want their honor. I don't just want their public ministry, but I want their prayer closet. Is there an Elisha in the room that would say, you know what? I'm tired of the enemy having his way in my family. It's time to pick up the mantle and say, where is the God of Elijah? I'm making an appeal to you tonight. I'm not just speaking pretty anymore. I'm telling you that if you want the anointing of God in your life, it's not cheap. You've got to get out of that seat where you're at right now and say, God, I'm going to give myself to you. And when tomorrow shows up, you're going to say, God, I give myself to you again. And God, I give myself to you again. It's the price of the anointing.